Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
So, Sissé, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning, Sissé.
Good morning. I was a bit worried
there. Good morning,
how are you? Now, do you have the other person with you or just by yourself?
Good morning. My name's Figgis. I'm here as well.
Figgis, good morning. Okay, so I'm just thinking maybe we should give a little bit of a background before we go into the actual issues. Now, Ethiopia is made up of 80 different groups and it's got a very complicated history. So I just wondered if you give us a little bit of a background on the history, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. As you said, there are more than 80 nationalities in Ethiopia. They have their own culture, language. And as you said, Ethiopia have a long history. And that history, of course, make things complicated. However, recently, to be specific, 25 years ago, the current ruling party took the country with power from Derg. That was the ruling party before the current government. And since then, Ethiopia has been namingly becoming a democratic nation, federal democracy in Ethiopia.
And what's the name of the party that took power 5 years ago?
So the party that took over 25 years ago was the TPLF, the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, mm-hmm. and there is a different party currently under rule of Ethiopia at the moment. However, it is a combination of TPLF and other parties. And what we're here to talk about and what we're here to discuss is how Ethiopia, even though it has an international face of a democratic society and a democratic nation, this government, it came into power with 100% acceptance and approval by the voting, and it has 100% seats in parliament. So we find that quite unbelievable. That
amazing. That is amazing.
100% is a massive.
How did they do that?
I wish we knew how to, so Australia could employ the same thing. But we find it very questionable that a democratic society can have one party rule 100% seats in parliament.
Yeah. And to add on that, how it happened is, for a normal person, it's unbelievable that one party will win 100% of the parliament seat. And when it's in Ethiopia, where, as you mentioned before, there are a lot of ethnic groups, and a lot of oppositions, it's impossible. However, the government uses the terrorism law that's implied to imprison any critics, even reporters and opposition parties, and they will imprison them simply. And therefore, you would not find any opposition rallies or protests because, again, the protesters or the supporters of opposition party will be jailed, and the prison even right now is flooded with opposition party leaders, reporters who have been deemed as terrorists because they criticize the government. So that's how it happened.
Ethiopia has had many very interesting political parties, like the ONLF, which is the Ugandan National Liberation Front, and before that you had the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front, and then you had Haile Selassie before that. So it's quite, when Haile Selassie was around, everybody knew Ethiopia, and then the only thing that pricked people's ears is when they talk about Addis Ababa. So the question I put to you is, What is it that you see, you know, given the complexities and the composition of Ethiopia, like you've got Somalia at one front, Eritrea in the north, Sudan to the east, Kenya to the south, what is it that will unite, or which organization do you think will unite all these forces?
Before she says something, I'd like to interject here. I don't think at the moment right now, we can even answer what will unite Ethiopia, because there are so many questions that oppose the government, whether that be institutional questions or covert mechanisms or overt mechanisms in which they have either oppressed the people or create division within people and ethnicities. But you can't talk about uniting Ethiopia without addressing these questions and creating accountability for these questions. The reason why, my personal belief is why there are so many opposing views and communities that arise in regards to politics or human rights is because that this government has systematically divided people so that they that are oppressed in numerous ways, whether that be ethnically, whether that be socially, whether that be through their economy. So you can't talk about uniting Ethiopia without acknowledging and creating accountabilities for each and all these grievances that the people have.
Mm. So is there any one group or several groups that actually have that approach in your knowledge?
We're not politicians. It's very hard for us to give an expert opinion on that. However, it is my opinion, and I'm sure many others, that ethnic-based politics in Ethiopia will only end up with division because, for example, we said 25 years ago TPLF took power, and TPLF itself is stand for Tigray People Liberation Front. And therefore, the first main concern will be the people of Tigray.
Yes.
And others that are based on ethnic group. If they took power, their main concern would be simply the people who they fought for. And therefore, that kind of political that is based on ethnic group will not unite Ethiopia. But say election, for example, they were at in 2005, to give an example, there was a new political party that was formed 1 year within the election time. And they won 1/3 of the parliament seat. That was amazing for Ethiopian people because that was the first, I would say, democratic election, close to democratic fair election. However, just on the eve of the election, most of the opposition leaders, they were in jail, and more than 30,000 supporters were also found themselves in prison. And therefore, I would think what would unite Ethiopia in the future is a fair election. If all the opposition parties get their chances, to campaign, and also if their supporters were not harassed, I think there will be a future for Ethiopia. But as we said, right now, the human rights violation that's going on in our country, the democratic rights violation, where people are jailed for protesting and also for supporting opposition parties, and the discrimination between, as I said, when TPLF took power, the main concern will be the Tigray people. Even though they are minority, 6% of the population,
yes,
most of the power in the government is controlled by them. For example, 98% of the generals of the national army is from that ethnic group. And also the corruption that is just hard to say, but also what's killing the people right now. So that is what we want to activists we want the world media to be aware of the human rights violation that's going on right now. More than 100 people are killed. Peaceful protesters are killed. And therefore, we would want to focus on that.
Mm. Do you have any human rights organizations that operate within Ethiopia to look at these sort of issues as well?
Actively, that are currently working in Ethiopia, I'm not 100% sure. Mm. The government in itself is very restrictive in what information can enter and exit Ethiopia. We do know that externally what is currently happening is because of international pressure, the diaspora organisations such as Human Rights Watch have been watching what's going on in Ethiopia and Oromo and the protesters that are dying there. And they are acknowledging that they are being excessive force has been placed upon them in regards to dealing with dissent. And that they are trying to get them to be accountable. Amnesty International is has made statements in regards to the most recent protests and the most recent riots that have been going on. And what people like ourselves all over the world right now, the diaspora of Ethiopia, are attempting to create international awareness and international pressure and break that, you know, international facade of democracy. And that is what the people of Ethiopia are trying to do. So we're trying to mimic those actions here to create and generate more awareness and more aid for that region.
Mm. So if you want to give listeners some information of how they can support you and also if they they desire to give you aid, as you mentioned. So is there any contact details you want to give listeners?
Yes, we do. Our personal group in itself, we formulated ourselves quite recently. We're called the Ethiopian Melbourne Youth Support Group. Mm-hmm. And we were created as a means for Ethiopian youth residing in Melbourne to advocate and raise awareness about the oppressive, brutal and violent actions of the Ethiopian government to the Ethiopian people. We acknowledge the intricate and complicated web of politics and ethnicities that exist in Ethiopia. And our support group recognises our privileges being the diaspora. We wish to constructively utilise our civil liberties to shatter the false international narrative of a tolerant and multi-party democracy. And through our activism and humanitarianism, we wish to raise awareness about Ethiopia's ethnically biased and based politics and policies, excessive and violent measures used to silence dissident voices and other attempts to block communication, expression and due process. Now, while that's a big...
agenda. It's a big agenda.
It is a big agenda. And we do try to break it down, you know, to the micro level. If people do want to contact us, we do have a Facebook group,
yep.
The Ethiopian Melbourne Youth Support Group, or at TEMYSG.
Mm-hmm.
We have previously worked in collaboration with the Oromo and Ugadi communities in a protest that was here in Melbourne.
Yes, that's right.
Individually, we have had our own fundraising that we've done. So raising funds for affected regions, whether that be just for medical aid or for food. On Saturday, we are working with the Ethiopian community in Victoria for a fundraising event they're doing. It's actually Ethiopian New Year on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Happy New Year.
Thank you. But because of what's going on internationally, what people have been doing is they've been cancelling the celebration parties because of these deaths. And we are in kind of a state of mourning. So instead of normally what we would have done is, you know, gotten an international singer and worn our either cultural clothes or whatever clothes we want to and celebrate our New Year, what we are doing instead is we've cancelled that program and cancelled the singers, or the Ethiopian community has, it's a separate body, and they've done a fundraising night where they're going to have candlelight speeches, they're going to prepare food and they have entry. So that's tomorrow.
And you want to give the where will that be?
Okay, no problem at all. I will give you the address of where that is. Sorry, just give me 2 seconds.
It'll be in Fitzroy Road, just to intervene.
Sorry, it's not Fitzroy. It's the Croatian Centre at Fitzgerald Road and yeah. White House Avenue in Ardeer. Again, that's the 10th of September at 7 p.m. Entry will be $40. It will, the program would include dinner, coffee ceremony, candlelight ceremony, speeches, poetry and videos. So we're working in collaboration with the Ethiopian Community Association of Victoria, not only to create awareness about the event, but also to generate more awareness about our group. So we invite everyone to attend that to know a little bit more about what's going on in that area and what we can do to help, as well as, you know, contacting us on our Facebook page.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Just to add one more
sure.
thing. We are new, as speakers were saying, we are new to this and we don't have any experience or education. So if there are any activist training. Would like to start in that. We don't know how to expose what the government is doing, the ethnic cleansing in the Walgatagade, even when the government census is showing 2.7 million Amhara people are missing. Even though we know that's happening, that's going on, we don't know how to pressure politicians or outside forces to do their own investigation, to go to the country. Mm. And we would appreciate any kind of training. So if there are any other organizations...
Or assistance, yeah.
Yeah, assistance and training.
That's a good call. And I think as young people who are new to this whole... issue, I think you're doing a fantastic job, and we will try and give you a radio space anytime you want to advertise any of the events. That's one way we can support you. But there are many listeners out there who may be able to help as well. So you've told us your Facebook site, and it's the Croatian Cultural Center, is it, in White Horse Road?
Yeah, okay.
Fitzgerald Road. Yeah,
Fitzgerald Road. Okay,
and Whiteside Avenue. Idea.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much for coming on radio and giving us a very small, I guess, a snippet of this enormous struggle going on in Ethiopia where millions of people have gone missing. And we shall definitely get in touch with you again as things develop and see how things are going. And thank you so much for being awake at this time of the morning.
Thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Issa. Thanks, Vika.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.